joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
Been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been here in the...
Thank you so much, ladies. Good morning, church. Let's stand together. Let's worship this morning.
No more.
thankful for that this morning, church. Amen. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. So glad you're here. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, if you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. You're our honored guest. There's a QR code on the screen behind me and the pew in front of you. If you'll take a moment, scan that QR code so we get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, we have a gift for you out here in our Welcome Center. We also want to welcome those who are watching online. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. I want you to take a few moments and greet somebody around you. Tell them how happy you are to see them today. Let's join together. Let's sing this great hymn of faith together. Here we go. All right, sing it out. Here we go. And
standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. That cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
Oh, sounds good, church. Come on.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. That's good singing this morning. Aren't you glad to know that we can stand on His promises this morning, right? It's also great to know that we have a God who deserves all the praise and glory this morning. One who loves us unconditionally, one who cares for us deeply, and all the glory goes to Him. So as we sing this next song, let's proclaim it together. To God be the glory. He's worthy of praise this morning. Amen. Isn't it great to know that the King of all kings is also our Father? That he loves us unconditionally and has shown us grace and mercy? That is the God we sing about this morning. Listen as Kathy leads us. joy. Take joy.
Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Oh, can we praise Him this morning, church? Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
How great it is to be in the house of the Lord today and be able to sing His praise and to give Him the glory that He only deserves, and to know that God is for us, and when God is for us, who can be against us? We just claim the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And I know that many of you are here today and you maybe are going through a challenging time in your life. Maybe some of you are watching online, and wherever you're worshiping today, you're struggling. You need comfort. You need strength. You need forgiveness. You need hope. And I'm thankful that you're children of God. We have hope. We do not live without hope. But when we are in Christ, we have hope. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I'm so thankful for this. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to tap into that power, to that freshness of spirit, a newness of life. This altar is open. If you're in this place, you're welcome to come kneel, or you can stand from your seat. Wherever you're worshiping today, that can be your altar, your place of prayer. We also want to lift up our night of worship tonight here at the Forks. We want to lift up our devoted women's conference this weekend, that the Holy Spirit will be thick in this place. However the Holy Spirit leads you, I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. Oh God, we come today with grateful hearts, thankful for your faithfulness and for your promise to be with us. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Thank you for being our comforter. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you, God, that when you are for us, that no one can be against us, because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for your Spirit in this place. Father, we know that you bring us freedom. Where your Spirit is, there is freedom. And who the Son sets free, we will be free indeed. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Lord, I pray for folks gathered at this altar. I pray for people praying from their seats, people praying, watching online today, that you would meet us, Lord, in our grief, our suffering, our pain, our confusion, our guilt, our lostness, our pride, our addiction, our depression, our loneliness, our fear. Oh God, meet us where we are. Father, we just pray that you will bring victory. And we know the battle belongs to the Lord, and we claim that. And Father, I lift up today folks grieving. We, Father, continue to pray for Lenoma daily and the loss of her brother. Comfort her and strengthen her. Father, we pray for so many today that are battling health issues. People, God, that are recovering from surgeries, facing surgeries, going through treatments. We believe you're the great healer and the great physician. We pray for miracles of healing that you would be glorified. Father, I pray for some marriages that need to be healed, some relationships that need to be reconciled. We pray for financial peace. We pray, oh God, again for your direction and wisdom in our lives. For some folks today, God, that want to know what the right thing is to do, may it be clear to know that, Father, you work all things out for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. And Father, we just pray that you would bless our music tonight, a night of worship, that you would anoint our worship teams, those that sing and play through them, speak to our hearts. Father, we pray for the Devoted Women's Conference this Saturday and ask God that you would anoint all of the speakers, the musicians, all the volunteers, and all the ladies that will come. May your spirit be thick, and may people be drawn closer to Jesus and souls saved and lives transformed, and everyone would leave with that peace that passes all understanding that comes from faith in Jesus. And Lord, I pray that today. I pray for peace in our country. I pray for peace throughout the world. Pray for peace in each of our hearts. Lord, I just pray that throughout the remainder of this service, your Holy Spirit would move. Again, use the musicians to speak to us. Father, speak through your word and through your servant. And Father, just remove any doubts or any fear or any anxiousness. And I pray, God, that your spirit and your power will prevail. So, Father, I just pray that when I am weak, then I would be strong through Christ Jesus. And I ask, God, if there are those who need to come to you today, that before this service is over, they'll come to Jesus, or people will come back home to you, or people will be a part of this family of faith. So help us, oh God. We love you, we praise you, and we need you. And we pray all these things in the strong and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to, again, just thank you for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. It's always great when we can come together as family of faith to worship and to hear a word from the Lord. And so thank you for being here. The scripture today is familiar, I'm sure, to many of you, maybe new to others, but it's an awesome passage that I hope God will use to speak to you. And then after that, our worship team's going to come back to lead us in a beautiful song. Begin with verse 19 of James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of it. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Peace. writes my soul the message he wants me to know. His spirit, all divine, fills the sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart, well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry, set my sinful soul on fire. When God dips his love in my heart. Well, sometimes though the way is a dreary, dark, and cold, and some unburdened sorrow keeps me from the goal, I go to God in prayer. I can always find him there to whisper a sweet peace to my soul. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry, set my sinful soul on fire. When God dips his love in my
Amen. Thank you all so much for leading so beautifully, and thank you again for being here today, allowing the Spirit of the Lord to be in this place. I always like to share a little humor to get you ready to hear more important things. Maybe you heard the story about the couple who had been married for 25 years. One afternoon, the husband went up into the attic, and he found a box that had three bonnets in it and $2,500. He was perplexed, so he went to his wife and he said, "Honey, I found this up in the attic. What is it?" She said, "Well," she said, "every time that I would get mad at you, I would knit a bonnet." And the husband was just so proud, and he thought in 25 years he'd only angered his wife three times. He was so proud. And then he said, "Well, that explains the bonnet. Now, what about the $2,500? And she smiled. She said, "Well, that's the money I got from selling the bonnets that I had made." Check, test, 1, 2, 1, 2. For the last several weeks, we have been looking at some giants that we face on a daily basis, or maybe in our Christian faith on a daily basis. Maybe you have faced the giant, and we've talked about how to have victory over these giants of fear, discouragement, loneliness. And last week, we talked about the giant of temptation. And we've been going through a sermon series called Victory in the Lord in 2024. And as a theme verse, we've used 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful verse to claim today. And I pray that you would memorize that and claim that on a daily basis. But today we stand before another giant called anger. And it's possible that you're here today and you struggle with anger on a daily basis. Or maybe you're here and anger has begun to control your life and to destroy your relationships. In our scripture passage, we see James, who is the brother of Jesus, who is writing this letter to Christians, and primarily Jewish Christians, who had been scattered because of the persecution they were enduring for their faith in Jesus Christ. And James, as a leader in the Jerusalem Council, as a pastor would his congregation, writes to encourage and to instruct these believers on how to weather the storm of persecution and to live out their faith. And really, James does a beautiful job of giving a practical guide. Really, a lot of the book of James is a how-to book. How to effectively live out our faith in an angry and hostile world. And I pray if you're here today and maybe you're struggling with the giant of anger, that God would speak to you, the Holy Spirit would speak to you through His Word, speak to all of us, as we all certainly need to be encouraged and reminded. And so James gives this beautiful formula, if you will, to help us overcome our anger. And the first thing he says we need to do is listen. We need to listen. In verse 19 of James chapter 1, he says, "Brothers and sisters, take note of this." Let's stop right there. When he says that, he's saying, make sure that you write this down. These words are true. These are life-giving words. Mark my word. I laughed at the early service when our son Isaiah was young. He thought the word was mock my words. And so he would say, mock my words. He's been mocking my words ever since. When I said, it's mark my words. Brothers and sisters, he said, take note of this. Write this down. Everyone should be quick. Listen. The first step in having victory over our anger is we must listen. And I think about that listening really is a gift of love when we listen. And I think it's so important that we would listen more than we speak. You've heard me share before, God gave us two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. One of the wisest people ever to live other than Jesus Christ was King Solomon. Solomon wrote out a Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, "Let the wise listen and to keep learning." We are to be wise in the way in which we listen, but not only listen to one another. And my wife has encouraged me through the years to listen with my eyes and not just my ears. I've joked, for whatever reason, sometimes it's the craziness of our schedule, sometimes my wife will try to share with me something very important. It'll be right in the middle of a UK basketball game. And I'll be doing my best, and she'll say, "Do you just want me to wait, or you want, you know?" I said, "Honey, I'm trying to, could you move over to the side just a little bit?" that doesn't go over too well, but it's important that we listen not only with our ears, but to listen with our eyes. And not only are we to listen to one another, but we're also to listen to God. And I think about what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Not only are we supposed to listen to each other, but it's so important that we listen to God. You know, just a couple, 3 weeks ago, we lost a great man of God, Henry Blackaby, who wrote the Experiencing God Discipleship Study. He went to be with the Lord. And I think about the impact Henry Blackaby made on our world with the great material that he wrote in helping us to understand what it means to live for Christ. And in that study, Experiencing God, he shared that God speaks in a variety of ways. And we are to listen to hear God speak. He shared that God speaks through the Holy Spirit. Did you know at the moment we receive Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and the Holy Spirit resides. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes the Spirit of God speaks to us in a still small voice coming from within, because that's the Holy Spirit guiding, directing, convicting, comforting us. But then we also know that God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. And maybe you've said, "I need a word from the Lord," and you've just opened your Bible, and many times you'll say, "This is exactly what I needed." I'm not recommending that that's the best way to do it, but God certainly can use His Word. It will not return void. So I encourage you to open the Word of God. He speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through prayer. Henry Blackaby pointed this out. Listen, it's more important to hear what God says than what we are saying in our prayers. Do you understand that? Sometimes we are guilty of, "God, I need this. God, I need that. God, will you do this for me? Will you do this for me? You do this for my family member. You do this for my friend. God, I need this." How many of us ever stopped to listen? To say, "Lord, speak." I've told you, I wake up a lot of nights around 3:30, 3:45, and I did last night. Kelly's snoring just finally got to me, but I was having trouble sleep. It's the other way around, Kelly. I want to make everybody clear on that. And I have to tell you, I said it again last night, and I've told you before, I feel like young Samuel going to the priest Eli. When I wake up like that, I told you years ago, I began to pray, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens, your servant hears." I asked that 3 different times. And even though I didn't receive a clear message last night, eventually I went back to sleep. But it's so important that we listen to hear God speak. God speaks through prayer, but then God also speaks through circumstances. Maybe you're going through something right now in your life. You're like, "What in the world is happening? What's going on?" And it's possible God's trying to get your attention, and He's trying to get through to you, but we must listen to understand the reason of why we're going through what we're going through. And maybe God is trying. It might be through an illness. It might be through a financial issue. It might be through a relationship issue. It might be through a problem at work or at school. But God's saying, "Listen, are you ready to hear what I'm trying to tell you?" Because He wants to speak to us. He can use circumstances. And lastly, God can speak to us through the church, through ministers, through Sunday school teachers, through discipleship leaders, through godly, mature Christians who will give wise counsel and that have your and my interest, best interest at heart. And so God can speak through a variety of ways, but we must be ready to listen, to hear what He's trying to tell us. I've shared through the years when I've done counseling with people, a lot of times I might speak 5 words And the whole counseling session, they'll say, Todd, I feel so much better. Thank you so much for speaking with me. All I was doing was listening. There are people who are starving for someone to listen to them. And you know that sometimes we must listen before we will be heard. And I'm so grateful that God allows us to listen. I shared this with y'all before years ago. Somebody came into my office and they were upset about some things. This was years ago. And they pulled out a notebook of a list of what they were upset about. I was like, I was sitting in that chair and I'm like, can I poll the audience, do 50-50 or phone a friend? How many lifelines do I have here? But I tell you, they started on, and it would have been easy for me. You know, we all must work on listening to allow someone to finish before we insert our own opinion. We must take time to say, you know what, I'm going to listen first. And so I let him just go on and go on and on. I was, you know, listening, showing engagement, head nodding. And I was trying to be gracious, and I was thinking I could interject right now and correct that. That was miscommunication. He was wrong on that one. He was wrong on that. But I just kept listening. And finally, at the end, I was able to just kind of lovingly address all those issues. And he goes, it's great. I feel so much better. I'm so grateful that we can meet and talk. And God worked it out. But mainly, he just wanted somebody to hear him, to listen to his concerns, to the things that were going on in his life. Is there someone you need to listen to today? Is there someone you need to stop and say, you know what, I need to be quick to listen? But secondly, then we must be slow to speak. We're going to call this learning. Learning to keep our mouth closed. Learning to keep our mouths closed. We should be slow to speak. And I think about so many, again, passages of Scripture. And again, Solomon in Proverbs 13:3 says, but those who guard their mouths preserve their lives. But those who speak rashly will end in defeat. But those who speak rashly will come to ruin, is what it says. And then in Proverbs 10:19, it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but the one who holds their tongue is wise. Did you hear that? When words are many, sin is not absent, but the one who holds their tongue is wise. So we need to be slow to speak. Now, I'm talking to everybody, but let me just do a little word here to our young people. Young people, don't talk back to your parents. I know from experience. My dad used to say, I cannot tolerate sassing or talking back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't sass or talk back to dad. And when I did, I told you, he taught me my first dance I ever learned. That was my first dance that I learned from talking back. Right or wrong, he taught me not to talk back. And so it breaks my heart when I see and hear sometimes children who try to parent their parents. You all show respect, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. And so that's just a kind reminder. You treat people with the respect that you would like to receive. So I pray today that we would learn to be slow to speak. And then this is for everybody. Sometimes, haven't we all been guilty of having some cutting remarks, sarcasm toward people, but they're hurtful words. And sometimes we think we're just being funny, and there might be a hint of truth in our jest, but what happens is somebody gets their feelings hurt, and a fight starts because you were just trying to, you know, be cute or to be funny when it wasn't really funny at all. It was hurtful. And I've often said, and you've heard it said, hurt people hurt people. Our daughter told us, our youngest, that there's been someone at school, a bully, had been saying hurtful things to her. And, you know, I tried to give her sound advice, what my dad taught me. I said, you go back and if they do it again, you punch them right in the nose and you tell them, I'm kidding you. I didn't tell her that. I was just checking you all, see if you were listening. The only time my dad told me to do that, if somebody came out swinging at you, you better protect yourself. But anyway, but what I told her is, I said, Aunt Catherine, I said, you have to overlook sometimes people that don't know any better or haven't been taught any better. And I said, you've got to be the bigger person and overlook it. And I said, there's a couple things that are going on. Number one, they're either insecure with themselves. And so many times, people, to make themselves feel better about them, they put down somebody else. Adults do that too. If I can put down somebody else, I'll feel better about me. I said, either secondly, he likes you. I said, he's flirting with you. You know, little boys will pull middle school girls' hair or, you know, make fun or whatever, and they might like you. I said, but you don't know what his status is at home or what's going on in his life, but I said, it doesn't make it right, but it helps us to understand a little bit more. But we shouldn't be quick, like I used to say in basketball, and I taught my children this, let your playing do the talking. When somebody's talking smack, talking trash, you know what will quieten them down? By letting your playing do the talking. You don't have to prove with this, you just prove it in how you're living it out. And your ability and what you're doing. So, if we want to overcome anger, we must listen. We must learn to be slow to speak. Then, lastly, we must live in righteousness and be slow to become angry. For human anger does not fulfill the righteousness that God desires. Did you hear that? To live in righteousness. Because human anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. And so we must be slow to get angry. And that you just add to it, and there's all kinds of road rage and social media rage. And, you know, you just fill in the blank and add rage to it. It's going on today. There's all kinds of rage that people have in their hearts. And I know that some of us are here today and we have anger. And look, when we give our lives to Christ, we don't lose our emotions. Did you know that? But our emotions are to be purified. We are to have a righteousness and that we have the right kind of emotions. Let me give you an example. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, he said, in your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And then in verse 27, he says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Did you get that? In your anger, do not sin. So there's some sin or some anger that's not sin. Don't we know that Jesus had a righteous anger? When did we see Jesus with a righteous anger? We saw him in Matthew 21 when the money changers were setting up shop in the temple. And remember, Jesus came in and he turned the tables over and he made a whip out of cord. And Jesus was cleaning the house. And he said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And not a den of robbers. That was a righteous anger for what they were making it. There's another story in Mark chapter 3 when Jesus went into the temple on the Sabbath and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And you remember that Jesus healed this man. And there were people complaining about it and arguing about it. And Jesus said, looked at them with anger because of their hardened hearts. And so we can have a righteous anger and not sin. And I mean, the list could be long if I start rattling off all the things today that's a righteous anger in the world in which we're living today. I mean, there are so many things right now going on in our world that causes me and us to have a righteous anger. But we have to allow the Spirit of God to control that so it doesn't become sin. But when we allow the devil to give a foothold, and when I think of a foothold, I think of a wrestling move, or like he's locked on and we're dragging him, you know, dragging. He's holding on. He's got a foothold on us when we allow anger to rule in our lives or in our hearts. And so I pray today that we would not allow that anger to be burdened to sin. If you have a righteous anger, is one thing, but you and I both know which anger is right and which is wrong. I don't think anybody has to tell us. Most of the time we know. Is that we don't want people to feel like they're walking around on eggshells, or you're going to go off on somebody. That's not what God desires. As a matter of fact, if you would read on in verse 21, that we are to get rid of all moral filth and evil and accept the word of God which has been planted in you, which can save you. And so I pray today that God would give us victory over this anger. And here's a simple little thing to do. First of all, make an honest assessment of yourself. You know, if you have anger issues, you shouldn't have to have somebody to say, you've got some anger issues. Most of us know if we do or not. Make an honest assessment that, hey, I realize I've got some anger problems I need to address. Secondly, meditate on Scripture. There's power and healing in the Word of God. The Bible is filled with passages to help us deal with our anger. Thirdly, to move away from the anger and move toward prayer. Move away from the anger and move toward prayer. Move anger away and begin to pray. You can remember it like that. Move anger away and begin to pray. How many times has God pulled you through what could have been a potential World War III by stopping before speaking or saying or doing something, just stopping to pray, Lord, help me. I don't care if it's just walking away. Many times while I'm jogging, I told you I pray, or to go for a walk, or just to breathe a breath prayer. But stop before you do or you say something you're going to regret. There's power in prayer, and you take it to God and say, Lord, I need your help. And he will give you victory over it, I promise. In close, I want to share a story that Dr. David Jeremiah shared about a minister friend who had told him about a lady that he had counseled, and then she was involved in a divorce recovery type seminar, had been divorced for many years. But she was still struggling and going to these support groups, and she had a venom and a bitterness about her. She was angry. And she was spewing that anger and hurt openly in this meeting. And the gentleman who was facilitating, he said, why won't you let go of the past? And then he said, why won't you let go of your anger? You know what she said? This is the only story I had. This is the only story I had. And when I think about that, there are times where we need to write the end of that story, of that chapter of our lives, and say, I'm ready for the new chapter God has for me. I'm ready for the fresh start God has for me. I'm ready for the new beginning. Because y'all have heard it said, anger's toxic. And it hurts the container more than the one that you're angry at. And it will kill your spirits from the inside out. And so when we release that anger and we give it to God and say, I'm putting a the end, and I'm ready, God, for a new beginning, a new chapter, He will help you to do that today. And I'm not saying that, you know, you just forget all the pain, because she was talking about how her husband had left her for another woman. And it crushed her spirit and it broke her heart. It's not being insensitive to the past hurt, but it's not allowing that past hurt to dominate your future happiness. And I pray today that if you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Christ, that's the first step in overcoming your anger. Give your life to Jesus. He can take it away. Or maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but you know you've not been living your life for the Lord. This is a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting. This is a place for everyone where sinners can come. I stand by our sign. This church is a church for everyone. And you might be hurting, you might be struggling, you might be better than you've ever been. You might be tight with the Lord, or you might just be beginning your journey. But whatever age, whatever stage, whatever place you are, we are to come to Him just as we are. And then maybe you're looking for a home where you can be encouraged and be loved and supported. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, hold each other accountable. And we can encourage each other to keep fighting a good fight. But I pray today, however the Holy Spirit's leading, that you would not leave this place the same way you came in. Would you leave your anger at the foot of the cross? Would you leave your pain at the foot of the cross? Would you bring your lostness to Christ and find the hope that we have through Jesus? He's waiting for you. Aren't you ready to receive Him even now? May we pray. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment. If there's someone here that, God, they're struggling, and maybe it's possible, God, that some have been given an ultimatum. You either get control of your anger, your temper, or I don't think we can stay together. God, has our anger poured over on our children, and they've heard and seen things that have seen things that a child shouldn't hear and see. Lord, it's affecting them, and they might be the one who goes to school and bullies someone because they've watched what their mom and dad have said and done at home. Lord, there are so many people, children, teenagers, adults alike, that are insecure. We all have insecurities. Father, forgive me, forgive us when we felt the need to put down others or to be critical or to find fault to try to make us feel better about our shortcomings and our problems and our insecurities. We're all fellow strugglers. We all need your grace, Lord, and your forgiveness and your strength. Lord, maybe some people are here today and they've been hurt beyond measure. Their hearts have been broken. They've been treated unfairly, undeservedly. A family's been broken and indiscretion's taken place. Oh, God, may they not remain a permanent victim of this pain. Would they give it to you today? Surrender it all to you and say, Lord, I can't carry this poison any longer. It's killing me. Give them the strength, Lord, to give it over to you completely, fully. Lord, maybe there's some folks, Lord, that are looking for a church home. This is a wonderful Spirit-filled church, not a perfect church, and I'm sure not perfect, but God, we can come and be real with each other, real in our joy and our rejoicing, real in our pain and our suffering, real in our shortcomings, and real about our desire to want to live in righteousness and holiness and to be different than the world. Oh God, however your Spirit leads today, may we not keep you waiting any longer, that we would come to you with our brokenness, our pain, our lostness, and find strength and hope in Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand right now if you're in this place. If you're watching, if you make a decision today, contact us. It'd be our privilege to speak with you, pray with you. But won't you come as we sing this great hymn of faith? So much for being here today. I love that song because the Lord waits for us to come to Him and to see if we're willing to open the door. I think of that picture. I stand at the door and knock, and whoever hears my voice opens the door, and I will come in and eat with them. I see Jesus knocking at the door, and He can bust it down if He wanted to, you know, but He doesn't force it upon us. He loves us, and He wants us to receive Him into our hearts and lives. So I hope you've received His love today, and it would begin to transform you. Don't think if you struggle with anger issues, it doesn't happen just like that. We're works in progress. And with God's help and the love and patience He shows us, may we show that love and patience to others. Fill us with the fruits of the Spirit. So thank you all for being here today. I hope you will come back even tonight. We've got a very special night you don't want to miss. Sean, tell them what they've won.
Yes, it's going to be a great evening. Tonight's our night of worship.
And all of our praise teams are joined together to do one evening together of music. And I just want to encourage you to bring somebody with you. It's going to be a really special time as we sing together, and it's just all music, and it's just going to be a wonderful evening. Bring someone with you. You'll know all the songs. I promise they'll be on the screens, too, so you'll be able to sing along. And it's really just a time for us to, we have a lot of talent here at the Forks, and that we want to collectively join together, and you hear our choir and hear our praise teams throughout every week. And so I just think it's a great time for us to come together and have a night of worship. Our student band will be featured as well. And so you're going to see all the generations represented here. It's going to be a really beautiful night. So please, 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, it'll just be a wonderful night together.
Amen. I hope you'll come back and bring a friend to enjoy this night of worship together. And then don't forget all the activities throughout the week. Wednesday night, fellowship meal 5, prayer meeting at 6. That's our power source, the prayers that we lift up. We'd love to have you. And then be in prayer for Saturday, the Devoted Women's Conference. I know it's going to be great. We expect God to do great things. But thank you for being here. Know how much we love you, and God loves you even more. And I hope you have an awesome week. Enjoy the sunshine. Sean's going to lead us in a closing song. Then Deacon of the Week, Mike Perry, is going to come to close us in prayer. So thank you all for being here.
Let's sing this together. Here we go.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are able to be here today, gathered to worship you. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your Spirit, and may we be full of grace, joy, and peace because of your presence within us. May your Spirit's power produce fruit within our lives as we leave this place. Amen.
Thank you.